here. Why don't we settle in, and we're going to have a good amount of joy today. We're going to have some exuberant worship, please, for those of you who will see some worshiping on the screen in a little bit of jumping and dancing. If you want to praise God in any manner you feel of celebration, please feel free. For those of you who may not be used to that type of celebration, sit back and just enjoy the joy of the Lord in your heart this morning, because it is a wonderful day. Why don't we go ahead and get started? is risen! Woo! Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. You know those OSU and OS fans share a little louder than you. Let's do it once more. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He is risen. Amen. You know, there was a lot that went through. I know a lot here weren't on Friday. And the tears that flowed in this hall, and as we meditated on the blood and the cross and our sin, and to be able to come here and gather with others now to celebrate the risen Lord. Loved ones, there's a message here that is unique to the Christian worldview. Nobody has this message but Jesus Christ. He is unique among all, the fairest of 10,000, and we worship him because he's God. So praise everybody today. I want to thank everybody who's visiting today, who has come to enjoy this service we call Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that God was proven to be that Jesus, and it's him who takes away the sin of the world. And so as we go through this time of praising and worshiping him, I want you to be joyful in your heart. I also want to include some who may not know him personally. I have some things to say today, and I hope you're listening. I hope your heart is open to what is the truth. Why someone here can stand and shout about this man 2,000 years ago. What does that mean for you today? Well, I hope everyone can understand it means everything to you today. Amen. We're going to take a moment here to do a little announcements and some prayer. We're going to take our tithes and offerings and worship our God through all those ways. And we're not going to take our normal prayer requests today. I'm just going to pray generally over our congregation, but I want to enter into praise and worship. We're going to have a choir also. We're going to have Martha's going to come up and sing in a moment. And we're just going to enjoy singing. So those who know the song, sing along. Some of this may be new to you, try to sing along and enjoy the joyful worship of the Lord. And today I want to let everybody know for our weekly attendance, for those who are normally here, our missions and our building improvement taking and offerings will be coming next week. We'll be receiving those offerings next week. So anybody who looks forward to the third Sundays for those, please be ready for that next week as we do missions and building improvement receiving. And then also our men's retreat, we are going to be leaving Friday and coming back Saturday. That's going to be at the end of this week. And I do want to invite everybody after the service, please, if you're not committed to a place to go with family, please join us for a moment in some refreshments, and please feel free to fellowship. We'll also be here for prayer and any questions that need to be answered, so please feel free to stay and linger as long as you want. We're going to take some time to pray, and I know there's some requests here, and I know there's people here with stuff that's on their heart that is quite a burden, and so we're going to lift that all as unspoken today. And many things we've been praying over the weeks and months that we've been here now. And we're going to lift that all up. But some may have some unspoken, something that may be heavy and maybe wouldn't even share anyways. I want to let you know I'm going to be lifting that all up this morning as we enter into offerings. As we have our ushers come forth, we're going to receive the tithes at the end of this prayer time. And then Martha will be coming up and getting ready for her song. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bow your heads. Father God, I worship you this morning, this Sunday morning. You are the firstborn of the dead. Lord, you were laid in that tomb, completely incapable, human-wise, of coming forth anymore. But death did not grip you and hold you. You knew the promises that were given to you, that you would take your life up again one day, and you would come forth from that tomb, proclaiming life to all the captives who can be set free. We're all here gathered today for that one message of hope, Lord. And I want to lift up those who have many lingering issues that seem not to be going away. Lord, I lift that to you. The health issues that seem to plague us, but Lord, you're allowing them. May those who hold on to those prayers not give up, knowing that you are the healer for those financial issues as they come. And I don't know how God's going to meet my needs. Please let them not give up. You will meet their needs at the right time, in the right way. And Lord, it's all for your glory. Lord, I thank you for the abundance you have given many here. May they look to you as the provider of all things and understand who gave them the heartbeat and the breath to earn that living that they're able to do. And the talents that they've been given is from you. Thank you for that. May they worship you in the times of need and the times of plenty. Lord, for those who are coming here with broken relationships and marriages that may be falling apart, children going sideways, or just an apathetic way of looking at you, may they be rent today in a way that brings joy into those situations, giving hope where it doesn't seem hopeful. How awesome you are, God. We give you the praise and glory. I thank you for all those that are so hurt today. They couldn't even speak it if they had the chance. And that one here whose heart is hurting, Lord, can you send your spirit afresh upon them and give them a wonderful joy and beyond their circumstances, and let them find the worship, the healing balm of worship today as you step forth from that tomb in the early morning. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we receive the offering today. We thank you for the provision so this ministry can go forth, giving the good news to those who are lost and to those who are saved, growing the kingdom of God, advancing those can show that we want to be soldiers for Christ. And so may you bless each one here. Thank you for that provision and all that you give. Lord, you're an awesome God. And today is a magnification of us remembering that awesomeness that you are. And so may we give you the glory. May everyone here see you new today in a fresh light. It's our goal that you are glorified today. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sets on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sets on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, flashing in honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will adore you.
wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Give him the praises and glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll have our choir come on up. Come on up, choir, as we are going to sing hallelujahs to our King. If you know this song, and at least you can sing along with the hallelujah choir chorus, please feel free. It's a joyous song. Listen to the words. Be blessed by the people singing. They were up there.
Stand on your spot tonight, please.
Everybody got their words? Who needs them? You all want Pastor up there? I'm told to get up there. guys. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now we have the little ones to sing a song, and I think all of you should, most of you should know these words. Why don't we sing along with them? You'll find the tune familiar. Thank you, everybody.
Jesus, nothing is I know, for the Bible tells me so.
When asked, how much, Jesus, do you love me? He put his arms out and said, this much. And then he died. Praise you, Lord. We're going to have some songs here that are encouraging, loud. So please, let's not be quiet. One of them is going to have some Hebrew worship. The Messianic Jewish, his name's Paul Wilbur, if you're familiar with him. He's getting older these days. We just love his ministry, and he's going to sing one of our songs for us. We're going to have it on the screen. So please just sing along. Don't worry about who's looking at you or what you're doing. Give your worship to the Lord this morning. He is so worthy as we praise him in song. God bless you.
strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven, helpless gave this gift of love and righteousness, drawn by the ones he came to save, till on that cross at Jesus' died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin.
Brother Walt, it seems like he's okay. Looks like he got a little weak there. And seems like, is he all right? Brother Walt's all right? Everything's good? Okay. So praise the Lord. We prayed over him. And He's going to continue to be strengthened. He had a smile on his face as he walked out. So God bless you all. I'm glad you're all here. Why don't you all have a seat? And some of that worship may have been new to you as Paul Wilbur there. He was actually in Israel there worshiping. And so you saw a lot of the people in Jerusalem, the Messianic people, worshiping into a God that they know as Messiah. And what an awesome thing that is. And praise God that we here on this Resurrection Day can be grafted into the people that God called out to proclaim the good news. And I wanted you all to get a hold of your Bibles this morning. We're going to have a word that I believe is very profound today. Head on over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You know, when you come across these days of Easter, there's a lot of questions that often come. And we're running around, busyness, and a question of what special clothes might I wear? Often I'm not in a suit and jacket. I like to preach with a shirt on. It gives me a little more freedom to move around. But today I dressed up. You know, where's my suit? Maybe the location where we're going to spend our time. Which worship service are we going to go to? Where are we going to eat? What family are we going to gather with? And other questions may revolve around the theology that surrounds today. And it's not about Easter bunnies that lay chocolate eggs. I'll let you know that first and foremost. The understanding about today, maybe the question is, who's Jesus? What's this Jesus all about? I know a testimony of a woman that when given the account of the gospel went to the preacher and said, that's all great and all this man, but what does his death have to do 2,000 years ago to me today? I think that's a good question. And I think if we're really real with ourselves, probably a lot here have that question. Even who believe. What is that really doing to me now, at this very moment, in the midst of all that I got to go back to work tomorrow, school tomorrow, or the family I'm going to this evening? What does that Jesus have to do with me today? And I don't feel the need of having to convince you today about the resurrection. That's not what I'm planning to do. The historical literature supporting the case for Jesus Christ as a real person and his real death and his real resurrection are quite overwhelming. I would challenge anyone here to look into it historically with a lawyer view and not come back to me with something of, I really can't prove this wrong. So I'm not here to convince you that there was a resurrection. Quite frankly, if I thought about it, Thomas, we all know the doubting Thomas. He, after not seeing the risen Christ, the disciples come to him and say, Thomas, he's risen. The tomb is empty. He did not believe. When the disciples came, why would I think I have much more pull on you to convince you that he's alive? So if you don't understand that yet, I'm going beyond. And I should not under any circumstances have the illusion that I can do something that God cannot do to you today. But I do want you to be confronted, each one of you, believer or non-believer, on the fence. Do you believe this? Now what is that? Let's head over to John 11. I've got a couple of verses here I'll read. John 11, verses 25. I'll start. Talking to Martha here, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And there's the question. Do you believe this? Father God, I thank you for this evening of joyous, expressive worship, of the joy of that empty tomb. That nobody here is beyond a encapsulating view of that, captivated by the awesome power of a resurrected dead man. But God, you showed us that it was the cross that you were proving. It was the cross that we have to come through to see it. And I ask each one here, open his heart, open her heart to the truths of believing what you did. So Father, we give to you this. Holy Spirit, have your way. Fill us afresh in your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find here Jesus in John's Gospel, 11th chapter, days before entering into Jerusalem. We celebrated that on Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry. And here he is in a town named Bethany. And Bethany was just outside, just west of Jerusalem. And he's come upon a grave himself. You see, Mary and Martha and their brother had come very much become friends of Jesus, and Lazarus, the brother, had died. And we find in Jesus 35, he actually weeps over him. So they were close, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And this grave he's coming up to him is setting Jesus up for the greatest of the miracles that the Gospel John, the Apostle John, is presenting. Remember, John is seven miracles and seven I am statements. Very important. If there is one reading that I give to anyone seeking out the truth about believing, it's the Gospel of John. It tells about who he is. And so this raising Lazarus, the final miracle, is the testimony of God, Jesus' sovereignty over death. And that's why it's important. You see, in a few days, Jesus would be fulfilling his mission, heading down the Mount of Olives, up Moriah, into the temple, and then led out onto a tree to die. He's already telling everybody through this miracle, don't worry. Don't worry, I've got this. And I want to tell you a statement. I want to make a suggestion to you if you don't know this. Everybody dies. You're like, wow, preacher, you worked all week on that? I did. Everybody dies. And really what we have to understand that with Jesus, he is the only one unique. Out of all the thousands of religious gurus, all the prophets attaining and vying for your attention, even today, he was the only one who proved that though he died, he can raise himself up. And it was this week that a church was vandalized recently with the inscriptions that said, submit to Allah through Islam, his only prophet, Muhammad. Now I have a problem with that. Because unless anybody can tell me that Muhammad had some kind of resurrection, I don't really want to follow a dead man. I've got the same problem as Muhammad does. I'm going to end up in a grave. And if Muhammad couldn't get himself out of there, why would I say submit to some Allah through this dead man? That's a faulty doctrine that they may not understand through their emotions. But understanding that Jesus is alive, and I say no to other gurus and prophets, I still have this problem with death myself. And so the foundational question today that will drive any responsible questioner of their mortality, that will make them either accept or reject Christianity, is, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Not did he, do you believe this? In the last 30 years of liberal scholarship, loaded with attack after attack on the claims of Jesus, from institutions like Harvard and Princeton to people like Dawkins and the Jesus Seminar to Hollywood and their Da Vinci Code-like movies. Really, this isn't a new problem, loved one. The first century church had this to deal with. In fact, we find in Colossians 2:8, Paul faced off with this problem where he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware of this. They're subtle. They draw you in. They sort of make sense when they appeal to your humanity. And so we find Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, making an astonishing claim. As he says over this situation, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, check, he shall live. And then he looks into their faces. And as Jesus can only do, he looks into their hearts. And he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Some try to avoid the question. Some of you may even walk out of here and say, I'm glad that's over. Let's head over and get a ham. I'm going to say it once more. Do you believe this? Now, we can look at this in simply three parts. You believe, and this. So let's start with you. Let's get personal. Let's pretend nobody else is here in the room. I preached to one person before. I preached to one person as I'll preach to 1,000 people. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm speaking to you, loved one. You. Not your grandma. Not the belief of your brother. Not your father's testimony. Not what your church even believes. Doesn't matter. See, when it's all said and done, when it comes down to it, it's you. Naked and bare before the Lord, with nothing to hide behind. And it's not uncommon, really, for people to live their whole lives putting their trust in somebody else's belief. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. But this is a personal matter. It's no spiritual osmosis happening here. The preacher's words aren't going into your brain. It's the Spirit of God opening up your heart. Are you letting Him? You, loved one. A lot of energy and money is spent trying to discredit the authenticity of the gospel. But you can't be on one side or the other of the fence of striding. You can't have, I'm on either side. It doesn't, I don't know yet. You have to make a choice. You have to know what you believe. Can we get honest? I don't really care what the story is that you have for me. What's in your heart? What's hiding behind that skin? The heart is you. That's what we all know, and God already knows this. And so the personal question is, do you believe this? Now we can move on to the second part of, do you believe this? You know, faith is the only acceptable response to the gospel's questions. Jesus wasn't stirring the intellect here of his hearers. They were beyond upset. There was a dead man in that tomb. And they didn't know, Jesus, you were late. You didn't get here on time. Didn't you love him? He wasn't looking to appeal to their intellect. He wanted to know if they would trust in him. Take him at his word. Martha, do you believe this? And really, not everybody who wrestles with the belief part can outright deny the gospel. They're not all saying, I just reject it. Because there are people who believe it intellectually. In fact, I'm sure there's people who defend it apologetically in schools and forums and classrooms who only have it here. They'll even conform their lives morally to the gospel. I like the way these people live. This is a respectful, love each other, let's get all along, be a little huggy with each other. Morally isn't going to get it to you either. The fact is, it is possible to conform to the truths of the gospel, but never be transformed in your heart. It's called religion. I'm down with religion. I'm not interested in that. We're into relationship here. So the question is, do you believe this? Have you transferred trust from yourself, your efforts, your understanding to Jesus alone? In Christ alone, we sang. In Christ alone, his solid rock, I will stand. On sinking sand, no way anymore. I'm getting on the rock. And then my question then would be, has the belief made a difference in your life? Because if your faith hasn't changed you, it may not have saved you, and I want to encourage you along. Get it right today. In fact, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 clearly says that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We love that part. But it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We need to be acting more like him today than we were yesterday. And so once belief is settled, once it's your belief, we can get to the third issue. This is the heart of the issue of this question, this simple question. Do you believe this? So your faith must rest on some sort of objective truth. It has to be real. It has to be tangible. It's not just subjective philosophies. Thoughts of some other higher intellectual person that I may grab onto and say, this looks like it works. Does it or doesn't it work for you? But what was Jesus asking belief in? this? What is this? Well, let's look in the context. If we look up there, 24, Martha said to him, John 11:24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew something Lazarus was going to understand resurrection. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Here it is. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This is one of those I am moments. I am the resurrection and the life. This, Martha, do you believe this one standing right in front of you? And when Jesus used the words I am, you got to understand what was going on. The people held their attention on him. You see, Jesus Christ is the greatest phenomenon to ever cross the horizon of human history. And there is nothing greater than when he calls out, I am, in fulfillment of who he is. John 6, I am the bread of life. 7 times in the gospel. John 8, light of the world. I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door. Also John 10, I am the good shepherd. John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 15, I am the true vine. And my favorite verse of all in John 8, when the Pharisees were calling him out, and they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old, Jesus. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He was claiming deity. You know, there's some people who say Jesus never said he was God. They don't read right. He was claiming Godhead. He was saying, I am, just as in Exodus 3:13-14, when Moses encountered God at the burning bush, and he tells Moses, look, you're not going to worry about what you're going to say. Tell them, I am sent you. It's the exact one. It was the one Jesus. Do you believe this? It was this faith that led to the martyr's death of thousands of believers as he went to the cross and they brought him down, entered the tomb. He ascends. The church gets the power of the Holy Spirit and they go out into the world and 11 of those men die a martyr's death. John is exiled in Patmos. We have in Fox's Book of Martyrs thousands of men and women over the years who have lost their lives for this that they believed in. Now you get it real. Are you willing to die for your faith? You understand it's coming when Sri Lanka and Africa and the Middle East will have their philosophies entrenched so in America that we may not even be able to do this in public. And will we be able to stand and say, I believe this, Jesus Christ is Lord? And my prayer for you today is that you can answer as Martha answered. And so do you believe this, Martha? Let's look at 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now understand the place and time of this confession. This was right before the Passover's beginning. Jews were coming from all over the world, and she was a devout Jew. And soon the blood of thousands of lambs would be flowing from the temple as the Passover lambs are sacrificed. And she looked through all the Mosaic system, all the beliefs that were come as Judaism gave to fulfill the needs of a good Jewish person. And she looked to see Jesus as the fulfillment of that very Passover. Yes, I believe you are the Christ. That's what that word is meaning there. You are that lamb. You are the final sacrifice. You are God. So, who is he to you? Because whenever I engage anybody in talk about their worldview and want to ask them what they want to believe and how this world operates, my first understanding will be, who's Jesus to you? And well, here, I know he's a historical figure. Yeah, he was that childhood memory. I remember those stories. Or yeah, he's a good man. Some even today say nothing. I don't have any view with those people. I don't even engage anymore. How can the greatest person who turned the history of the world upside down not have any impact on your worldview? Doesn't make sense to me. Well, what they're saying here is, do you believe this? He's God. He's God. And then what about this claim over death? What are you saying, Jesus, that though he may die, he shall live? Well, like I said, is we're all going to die. And I know we believe that. Every one of us has a date coming. Oh, you may opt for some plastic surgery. You may be good shape, lifting some weights, doing a little running. You may have a little makeup on, coloring your hair. I've lost that a little while ago. I don't color it anymore. But anyways, you're not going to get away from the date. Everyone has a date coming. And you can't stop the fact that you are marching towards a grave. And the truth is, death is our final enemy. And it's the one event that guarantees all men equal. It's the one equalizer of all men. Black and white, rich or poor, famous, not famous, male, female, all stand at 6 feet under. Death is mankind's greatest denominator, common denominator. And I find it interesting that bookstores are loaded with all kinds of literature on how to live our lives. But I've got only one book that tells you how to die. This is the book that tells you how to die. And I ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus says about death? Amos 4:12. As Amos is thundering to Israel, you will be judged. Prepare to meet your God. Really, there's a lot of preparation in life. We prepare for marriage. We prepare for careers, we prepare for kids and funeral expenses and retirement. But let's make sure we're preparing to meet our God. Can we start that today? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Let's be careful not to spend all our energies on this life alone when eternity's hanging in the horizon. Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus is the only victor over death? If he's the victor over death, then though we die, it says here, we shall live again. There is life in Christ, not life apart from Christ. Now I meant to point out a lot here to understand the time factor here. We don't have forever. We must make a choice in belief. And in verse 26, if you notice, and whoever lives and believes, that tells me, if you haven't noticed, circle that in your neighbor's Bible, lives. You have to make this choice while you're alive. There are no second chances on the other side of eternity. I'll work it out. I had someone tell me once, God better let me in. When I get to him, I'm going to tell him some things. When you get to him, you'll be on your face in terror of a holy, all-knowing, perfect, holy judge. And so the time factor is while you're alive. Saving faith is only possible this side of grace. And too many people enter eternity while holding on to this choice. I'll get it right. ... I'll repent when. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, loved one. Today has been a gift to you. And today is a day of decision. You see, the gospel can't be taken without a decision. Every one of you will leave here either three ways. You will have made a choice to get right with God through believing this, you. You will have solidified that, yes, this is what I believe and I am sticking to it the rest of my life. Or you will say, not today. Not for me. Loved one, there's some radical decisions that have to be made today. Don't harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. Jesus can't just be a good teacher. He can't just have this moral understanding in human history, and you can't ignore him. C.S. Lewis said it best when he called on Jesus' understanding and his character and what he said. And he said he could only be of three things. Many of you have heard this. He could only be a liar, a lunatic, or he could be Lord. And if he's not a crazy liar in your heart, if you can't get up here and proclaim to everybody here, Jesus is a crazy liar, there's only one left. He has to be who he says he is. He has to be Lord. And I do believe this. He is Lord. You will one day die. You will one day meet him face to face. And my prayer today is that each one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it'll be what it is to the answer to that question. Do you believe this? Would you join with me, with Martha and the other saints here, as we can all say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Let's bow. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, glorious day of celebration. To the one whose heart is being affected and opened up and convicted, God, have mercy on them. Let the seed be planted deep and the roots develop and produce fruit. May they give to you the belief that is so due. Lord, what do they have even to really lose? Some failings of the world, some false teachings that are out there that give them hope. Lord, you are the hope. You are the life. You are the light. And it's why we celebrate you, because the cross came on a Friday and you rose on that Sunday proving it. Glory to you, Lord. I pray that each person here has been affected by your words. I pray that each person here goes out and doesn't forget this by the way they turn left or right on 102. And then they take this week and let the affections go out to the lost that they can affect. Multiply this message, Lord. May it go out to the joys, the wonders, and the applause of those hearing it and accepting, "I believe this. I believe this. I believe this." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.